Tough ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Almighty God, we ask you to guide us in all of our discussions, to show goodness, honesty, understanding and wisdom in all that we undertake for the benefit of the city of Joondalup and our residents. May we respect each other's views at all times, and we ask all of this in your name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I declare this council meeting open at 7 p.m. The first item of business is declarations of interest. I've received three declarations of interest, first being from Councillor Logan for item CJ157, provision of automatic external defibrillators in community centres. It's an interest that may affect impartiality, as Councillor Logan is an active volunteer for a number of parties which regularly hire city-managed facilities. I've also received a further declaration of interest from Councillor Logan for item CJ143, Design WA Stage 2, Precinct Design, City of Joondalup submission. It's an interest that may affect impartiality, as Councillor Logan's stepdaughter owns a property in a housing opportunity area and as such potentially exists for Design WA Stage 2 to impact that property. And a further declaration of interest for the CEO for item CJ150, City of Joondalup submissions, standards and guidelines for local government CEO recruitment and selection, performance review and termination, and mandatory code of conduct. It's an interest that may affect impartiality, as Mr Hunt holds the position of Chief Executive Officer. Next item of business is public question time. There is a set of procedures which relates to public question time, and I'll request that you follow my direction at all times. You'll have an opportunity to ask up to two questions, and your questions should be directed to myself and asked in a polite and respectful manner. I'd also ask that everyone asking a question please state your name and address for the public record before proceeding. As is our practice, we've held a register outside in anticipation of the meeting, and I will work through that register in the first instance and call forward Miss Penelope Sewell. Skull. Thank you.
G'day, Mr. Mayor, councillors. Penelope Skull, 37 Gradient Way, Belden. Excuse me, I just moved. Number one, are you aware another law firm, namely LHD, in addition to Maurice Blackburn, has begun to gather plaintiffs in another class action against Monsanto regarding the ill effects of glyphosate-based herbicides?
Director Klassen.
Through Mr. Mayor, no, we weren't aware of that.
You have a further question?
Yeah. Question number two is council also aware that on the label of glyphosate-based herbicides, it is recommended that the treated organisms not be disturbed for 7 days after application?
Director Klassen.
Through Mr. Mayor, there is quite a number of herbicide products containing glyphosate. The city abides by the SDS, the safety data sheet and the label instructions of the weed products we purchase.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Steve Field.
Steve Field, 25 Parley Trail, Edgewater. Mr. Mayor, CEO and councillors, my first question to yourselves is, the City Lakeside Precinct is coded R15, where it abuts Yellagonga and Neil Hawkins Park. The justification
Sorry,
given...
Mr. Field, I can't hear. Can you please lift
I certainly
the phone
can.
Up?
Sorry.
I've got your address, but if you could commence the question again, please.
My first question to you all, the City Lakeside Precinct is coded R15, where it abuts Yellagonga and Neil Hawkins Parks. The justification given at the time for that low density was the proximity to the sensitive environment of the parks and lakes. Why wasn't the proximity to that sensitive environment a consideration when the decision to upcode the portion of HOA 8 east of Edgewater Drive made?
I'll get the director to comment around the time, but I will point out obviously a large part of the Joondalup CBD, including some media and some quite higher density residential areas also abut the Yolagonga Regional Park. So while there are some areas that have some of the lowest densities in the city, there are also some areas which historically and for a very long time have had some of the highest densities in the city, which sit upstream from Yolagonga as well. Director Page.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The criteria that were identified in 2010 to determine where density should go and what density should be applied were based on state government policy provisions at that time. Proximity to Yolagonga or to those natural areas was not one of the criteria that was agreed and approved by either the city or by the Western Australian Commission at that time.
Do you have a further question, Mr. Phil?
I do. The WAPC position statement on planning in bushfire-prone zone states that proximity to a fire risk is a consideration for planning. Early this year, a bushfire in Yolagonga Park came very close to burning out this part of Edgewater, and it was only saved by the desperate efforts of the fire brigade. This area has only one vehicle route in and out of it. During the fire, it became impassable. That put the residents at a significant risk, and it made it very difficult for the fire brigade to fight the fire. Is the city prepared to review the coding of this area in the light of its significant bushfire risk, single escape option and poor access for the fire brigade?
Director Page.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. As you may be aware, the city has been for some time progressing a project that looks at new requirements for housing opportunity areas. The earlier report that was prepared by consultants did look at reviewing the coding for that part of Edgewater. That wasn't progressed at a time. There were some concerns by some residents about that document, so that wasn't progressed at that time. We're progressing a different document in the interim. But in terms of that document, the document wasn't prepared specifically around bushfire risk. Bushfire risk does get taken into account at the development application stage when somebody lodges an application for a building on a property.
Thank you, Mr. Field. Mrs. Faye Gilbert.
Good evening. Faye Gilbert, 29 Northwood Way, Kallaroo. The 13 apartment DA for 9 to 11 De Villiers Road was approved by JDAP yesterday, notwithstanding the planning recommendation it be refused in their responsible authority report. This has raised concerns amongst us that the mandating of good design in Design WA and the apartment code is more height than substance, and we are now quite concerned about the efficiency of both the proposed development in Housing Opportunity Area, LPP, and the proposed residential development, LPP.
You attend many meetings. I'll bring you to a question, please.
Will the administration review yesterday's refusal and try, yesterday's approval, sorry, and try to determine where the two LPPs needed to be strengthened to prevent such overrulings by JDAP?
We don't take JDAP questions because this is not JDAP. The officer's report went to it. The members of this council participate as they do, but JDAP makes the decision as they are appointed by State Cabinet, so there's no role for the city to play in that, nor has it been my practice to answer questions from JDAP in the council meeting. This council does not consider JDAP matters.
Okay, I'll clarify that in an email perhaps, because that wasn't the question. The responsible authority report did not contain any reasons for recommending refusal of that development from part two of the apartment codes. Can we please have an explanation of why none of part two was relevant?
Again, if you have queries around the responsible authority report, those questions should be raised through the JDAP process if it affords you an opportunity to do so. This is not the forum for those questions. Thank you, Ms. Gould. Mr. Mike Moore.
Mike Moore, 31 Quarry Ramble, Edgewater. The 2012 local commercial strategy contains fairly optimistic thresholds for additional retail in the district, neighbourhood and local centre shopping centres. 7 years on, very few of those have had any increase. And it's unlikely that there will be much of an increase in them, given that WA Planning is predicting a population fall to 2031 for the City of Joondalup. So when will the City be reviewing and renewing its local commercial strategy?
Director Page, just the question. I don't know that I agree with the assertions, but just the question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the City will review its local commercial strategy ahead of preparing its next local planning scheme, unless there is a decision of Council to do otherwise.
OK, within the local commercial strategy, Hepburn Heights was listed as a neighbourhood shopping centre. It doesn't contain any of the elements of a neighbourhood shopping centre. The TBB report also assumed that it was a neighbourhood shopping centre. They obviously didn't go and check. So when will those classifications be changed in both the local commercial strategy and the TBB report to reflect the reality?
Most likely see more progress on the Hepburn Heights site in the new year.
OK, thank you.
Thank you. There's some works in train on that. Mr. Andrew Murphy.
Andy Murphy, 6 Bergola Place in Edgewater. Question 1. 3 months have elapsed since the Council voted to proceed with consulting on the interim planning framework for infill development measures. When will the proposed development in the Housing Opportunity Area LPP and associated scheme amendment public consultation period commence?
Most likely next week.
Thank you. Question 2. We want the proposed planning framework for infill development to proceed as soon as possible. How quickly can this city proceed with that framework?
I didn't catch that, Mr. Murphy.
We want the proposed planning framework for infill development to proceed as soon as possible. How quickly can the city proceed with that framework?
Director Badge.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the framework that Council has endorsed will be advertised shortly, as the Mayor has just answered. If you are referring to the framework that preceded that, that was prepared by the consultant, that has been placed on hold for now while we advertise this framework. We can't advertise the two of them together. It'll cause a lot of confusion for the community.
Okay, so we can expect something next week.
Thanks. This is Ziggy Murphy.
Ziggy Murphy, 6 Bergola Place in Edgewater. It's been said many times that the state are at fault for the current infill targets. Now, I know that they said that we needed to have a number of infill, but can we just get ownership from the council that it was their decision to make HOAs the way that they put infill?
We've always been very clear as a council, the city's role and the state government's role. Council's not resiled at any point from taking ownership of its part that it plays in that process. But as I've stated, just about every meeting for the past 2 years, the infill targets are set upon us by state government mandates. The parameters around which we must consider those are largely dictated to us by state policy, and they include the requirements that you locate infill opportunities around key public transport nodes and district centres as they are, and hence why the HOAs largely formed in the places that they did. And equally, I've made the point on many occasions, council is not even a decision maker in these. It has a role to play in preparing proposals and conducting the public consultation and then making recommendations, but the final decisions on all of these matters are decisions of the Planning Commission and the Minister for Planning for the day.
Thank you. My second question is, the 13 apartment development application at 911 De Villiers Road was approved by JDAP, notwithstanding that it did not comply with the tree canopy, deep soil area requirements, etc. Can we please have an explanation as to how the City is going to ensure that the modest tree requirements in the proposed development in housing opportunity areas, LPP, does not become irrelevant?
my understanding, I'll have the director comment about the LPP and any impact it may have had on Devalia, but as I said, decisions for JDAP are decisions for JDAP. We can't really respond to questions around what JDAP does or does not decide in this council chamber. They are completely separate to us. Director Page.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. So the current State Planning Policy 7.3 that is used to assess multiple dwelling developments is a completely performance-based document. The draft local planning policy and scheme amendment that the city will shortly commence consultation on is less performance-based. It is more prescriptive in terms of the requirements, and it will certainly tighten up on some of the requirements and be easier to report on and to make decisions and recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further public questions? Please come forward.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. My name is Rainer Repke. I live in 1 Pittwater, Kallaroo. Two questions to completely different items. There is a two-art tree on lot 23 Gibson Avenue. The city has sold the lot. The tree is in declining health, and the city will not do anything as it is on private property. Can you give me a contact so that I can talk to these people in order to try to save the tree? A contact.
No.
No?
Do you have a second question, Mr. Repke?
Yes, I have a second question.
Any more than it would be appropriate for me to give you the contact details of any property owner or resident in the city?
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Thank you. There are now about 44,000 lawsuits against the use of glyphosate in the United States. Are you aware that Minister McTiernan made a public statement banning glyphosate as usage of it might reduce our chances to export agricultural products? This is how serious she takes this issue.
I'm not aware of any statements by Minister McTiernan, and I'm most definitely not aware of any action on that behalf or to that end by the state government. Thank you, Mr.
It's the federal government that has to act.
I'll just correct that retort. You said Minister McTiernan,
yes,
who's the Minister for Agriculture in the state government. No, it's not a debate, Mr. Repke. Councillors, I'll seek a 10-minute extension to public question time. Do I have a seconder for that? Seconded Councillor McLean. By a show of hands, those in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Dr. Green.
Thank you very much for allowing my questions. My name is Tim Green. I live at 19 Goss Road in Padbury. I have a question on the planning consultation local planning policy. Is the intention to give more or less visibility of multiple and grouped dwellings in HOAs?
Director Page.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There is currently no planning or policy on consultation, so the intent is to make it clear when things, as clear as possible, when things will be advertised. The policy certainly does go a lot further than the current planning instruments that dictate how consultation should occur. There is some misinformation at the minute about the policy, that we won't be consulting on a range of development applications. That's not true. The appendix in that draft consultation policy sets out that there will be consultation on them. There are just some elements that automatically trigger consultation and publishing on website and other things versus others that may trigger. So I think there is a perception that we're doing less than what the policy actually says, and we'll report on that fully when the item comes back to council.
Okay, thank you. My second question is, with the state economy being off its heights, would the council be amenable to working with the state government to help fund safe removal of asbestos from properties across the city, which would both stimulate the economy and enhance resident safety?
It's not something that the council's considered, to my knowledge, so we'll take that on board as a question. It might be something that we consider at a future date, but I can't answer that one.
Having
consulted with the elected members. Thank you, Dr. Green.
Thank you.
Are there any further public questions? If not, I declare public question time closed and we move on to public statement time. There's a set of procedures which relates to public statement time, and I'll request that you follow my direction at all times. You are able to make a statement for up to 2 minutes, and your statement should be directed to myself and be polite and respectful. No question or discussion will occur at the end of your statement, and I'd ask that you please come forward and state your name and address for the public record before commencing your statement. Noting, again, as we have with public question time, that our practice is to have our register outside, and that standing meeting procedures local law allows for 15 minutes for public statement time, on the assumption that every resident who is registered will speak for their full 2 minutes, we will not get through the entire list, so I will accordingly go through this list in order of issue, because there are some repeated matters on different issues, and then any extra time will then accordingly go back to the beginning. Equally, I'll offer it to people who have not yet spoken. So those who have not asked a public question will be the first to have an opportunity to make a public statement. Accordingly, call forward first Mr. Murray Day.
Good evening, Mayor and councillors. My name is Murray Day. I live in 16A Kings Avenue, Sorrento. I've been a resident in the city, the Shire, for 36 years. I've come along this evening to speak against the conversion of Lot 21 Marmion, Shepherd Way Marmion, from R40 to R80. I speak on behalf of my daughter, Cassandra, of 23 Shepherd Way, which is directly adjacent to the proposal. She is a contract teacher in Singapore. She purchased the block and later had the house built 3 years old. Her mother is permanently domiciled in the house. The proposal before us, a change to the Englobo land coding, is adjacent to her home and will have a major impact on the amenity of her residential footprint and lifestyle, and to a lesser degree, all surrounding homeowners. In short, Mr. Mayor, what is being represented on the existing structure plan for 21 Shepherd Way was 4 by 2 storey units on approximately 1,000 square metres. And this is proposed to be converted to 13 units of 4 storeys in height on the same land area. Time is short, so very quickly I'll just highlight a couple of points, and I could ask members to go to their notes and have a look at sheet 5 of 7. Sheet 5 of 7 is at elevation on Shepherd Way. My daughter's, as I said, is...
Thank you, Mr. Day. Sorry, your time has expired.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, your time has expired. Ms. Michelle Kwok.
Michelle Kwok, 15 Gravel Elbow, Ocean Reef. Your Worship, Councillor Kaya, since the last council meeting, we've noticed more signage on the streets that are left out for longer. We have one sighting of workers wearing masks while spraying along Travers Drive. However, many were reported not using PPE. On November the 6th, Treetop Avenue, Ashwater, November the 14th, Hawking Road, November the 15th, Hepburn F, and no signage there either, and today at Blackall Drive. On November the 6th, the Sun area at corner of Poseidon Road and Prince Regent Drive, Heathridge, was sprayed on a windy day across from a childcare centre. No sums were ever listed on your weekly pesticide use notification, and Heathridge is not supposed to be sprayed that week. And again, on November the 13th, Cell Terrace in Heathridge was sprayed. This is not on your list, but being investigated by your parts operations. You told us that Additional consideration is given to the timing of herbicide application in the vicinity of sensitive facilities to minimize potential impacts. On November 11th, Lakeside Drive was sprayed right outside the childcare center. A sign was seen at 6:45. The center opens at 6:30. Also, Craigie Drive, Belden, was sprayed between 8 and 9 in the morning on October the 15th. This is within 500 meters from Whitford Catholic Primary School. Since we last met, Ross Wild from New South Wales, the first broadacre farmer, has filed a lawsuit against Monsanto. We have another 42,000 people suing Monsanto in the US for their blood cancer. In addition to Morris Blackburn, LHD lawyers are also gathering names for class action. Minister Alana Matinen commented that we need a plan B as farmers are risk losing key markets due to the controversial weed killer. Your Worship, councillors, do we have a plan B for us ratepayers?
Thank you, Ms. Kwok. Ros McNulty. Ms. Ros McNulty.
Good evening. I have a disability, so I can't...
It's a bit nervous.
Yeah, under pressure, I can't speak very well. I want to speak to you this evening because I want to take you back to 70-odd years ago when there was experimental, I don't know what a better word for it, but technology, where there was a massive bomb let off in Japan, Hiroshima. At that time, there was also experiments done on a lot of the veterans who stood there and trusted their government. And my dad, he was in a clean-up crew. I'm second-generation nuclear victim fallout. I've lived. I've got a red tumour. I want for you to go home tonight and think about someone like me and my family who's had to suffer the effects. And now the government wants to roll out this 5G, which is also experimental on the public and the residents of Australia. How can we trust that? There's plenty of evidence on the internet about how they experimented on these people. My dad was in the clean-up crew.
She's got a rare tumour in her...
I've got a rare tumour. Today I got a letter. I've been taking 2 years to get a support letter from my doctor, from doctors. I went to 3 professors. Today I got a letter to say that, yes, I can turn into hydrocephalus. I've already got a tumour, a rare tumour. A similar one to my dad, he was misdiagnosed. His metastasized and went through his whole body and killed him. 60 years to the day, I got it diagnosed. 60 years to the day. Now, there is all these evidence locked up in England, in the vaults. They will never release them. Those veterans, there are 1,000 left alive today.
Thank you, Ms. McNulty.
Thank you. Sorry.
If I can just ask... Please, I do need your name and address.
Rosalind McNulty, 16B, Chisco Crescent, Joondalup.
Thank you. Mrs. Beth Hewitt.
My name is Beth Hewitt of 4 Woodbury Court, Edgewater, and I speak tonight as Secretary of ECRA. Many in our community were saddened yesterday as the JDAP approved the departments in Davalia Road, Duncraig, setting an unwelcome precedent of oversized, bulky apartments being allowed despite them being out of character with the street, impacting heavily the direct neighbours behind and failing to meet many of the requirements of the design WA apartment codes, such as plot ratios, ventilation, parking, tree canopy. The Edgewater community is hopeful that the Council will continue to work with a greater sense of urgency towards a new planning, policies and scheme that we see as one possibility in preventing such structures being built in our suburb and indeed across the city. This isn't just about the HOAs. It's about good planning policy being in place to support good planning decisions. Joondalup is becoming a laughing stock with its poor planning policy and guidelines open to widely interpreted outcomes, a developer's delight, worst, accepting the worst rather than working towards excellence. I know that the community consultation is to take place from next week. Please listen to the community. Make the changes needed to develop a robust, community-accepted set of planning documents. The delays have been long drawn out, and ECRA urges the Council to compel the administration to do this now and to do it well. On community consultation, ECRA is dumbfounded that the City appears to be proposing reduced transparency in community consultation on such an important issue as development applications. We strongly urge the City to enhance or at least keep in place the current levels of community consultation levels that ECRA has played a part in achieving. If you choose to keep the community in the dark, one must ask, what are you hiding?
Thank you, Ms. Hewitt. Sarah Sinclair.
Sarah Sinclair, 69 Eddystone Avenue, Craigie. Ocean Reef Skate Park has provided a safe place for young people, teenagers and adults alike to enjoy and progress in their craft or sport, whether that be BMX, scooting or skateboarding. Although because it is such an amazing facility, it attracts a large amount of people. This is why we need extended hours. A skate park has its own set of undocumented set of road rules, yet due to the amount of people, the park cannot, these rules cannot be followed and the park has no flow. This can result in injuries, which if happened, generally happen to the people using the park coherently. In other words, people who have the ability to quickly jump off a board, scooter or bike to avoid collision. While for the most part this is true, sometimes children get hurt. And while you do not expect a child to learn road rules, children are left at the park unattended. If Ocean Reef Skate Park is to receive extended hours, this will be avoided as the amount of people utilising this amazing facility will be less condensed. Therefore less injuries, more flow. Out of the 14 skate parks north of the river, only two of these do not have lights, one of which is Ocean Reef. Extending hours will provide a safe place for the young and old alike to spend their time engaging in a sport and encourage healthy activities, a safe place for girls to feel a part of the community, a place for people to come and feel a part of an open and welcome community. I want this so that the kids can have a safe place during the evenings to enjoy and progress in healthy activities, and so that everyone who loves Ocean Reef Skate Park for what it is and feels, although they are being heard by their council. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Ms. Purdy Turton?
Hello, Mayor and Councillors. 10 Exeter on Wayne Heathridge. I'm here to talk about the 5G as well. If Brussels and Geneva have refused to roll it out in their country because 180 scientists around the world have said that they have no idea what is going to happen to the long-term effects of the health on humans, nature and animals alike. Bees die around these towers. That impact alone is going to be an impact on everybody. You have the towers connecting to, well, proposed tower in Joondalup and the other one's connecting to a primary school and a high school. If you're saying that the emissions are only going to affect 100 metres away, well, if you're having them at primary school and a high school, well, that's going to affect the kids. I hope you just look into it and find that this is a pretty serious issue. The microwaves from 4G are slow and they dissipate into the ground, whereas 5G, they're sharp and they go straight into us. We're going to get microwaved. It's going to be very, very scary. And just think about it. Think about your kids, yourselves. This is, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Miss Penelope Skull.
Penelope Skull, 37 Gradient Way, Belden. Hello again, Mr. Mayor, councillors. Regarding the council's consistent referral to APVMA standards, when approached with concerns regarding the effects on the health of our communities and environment through the blanket use of glyphosate-based herbicides. We are all concerned that the APVMA are not, in fact, independent in their evaluation of chemical products. After receiving over 75% of their funding from the very industries that profit from their use, the APVMA do not test glyphosate independently. Roundup is not glyphosate. It contains glyphosate, like 595 other formulations do, a majority of which have not been tested. How are we to have any confidence in the APVMA, their standards or mission statement, with such a glaring conflict of interest and lack of proper research? Council's own workers are not following the APVMA's advised recommendations of subsection 8 for exposure controls and personal protection. It would be wonderful for all concerned if no one needed to quote the conflicted APVMA or wear the correct but highly uncomfortable protective gear on hot days, or worry about the constant exposure to questionable toxic herbicides if non-toxic alternatives were adopted as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Skull. That concludes public statement time. We now move on to apologies and leaves of absence. I've received an apology for Councillor Hamilton Prime for tonight's meeting, and Councillor Fishwick is on a leave of absence. Councillors, are there any requests for a leave of absence? If not, we then move on to confirmation of minutes. We have a motion there before us calling that the minutes of the following council meetings be confirmed as a true and correct record, being the ordinary meeting held on the 8th of October 2019 and special meeting of council held on the 22nd of October 2019, as well as special meeting of council held on the 4th of November 2019, be confirmed as a true and correct record. Do I have a mover and a seconder for that motion? Moved Councillor Hollywood, seconded Councillor McLean. Is there any discussion on the minutes? If not, then I'll put that motion by a show of hands. Those in favour? Against? Declare that carried. We now move on to announcements by the presiding member without discussion. Direct from their headline Las Vegas residency, Human Nature will perform live at the city's 2020 Valentine's Day concert. Next year's concert will be held on Thursday the 13th of February 2020 at Joondalup Resort in Connolly. Backed by their all-star band, Human Nature will perform Motown and more, singing and dancing their way through the classic hits of Motown, pop and soul. Tickets are $25 for residents, $20 for residents with a valid concession card, and $35 for non-residents, and will be available for purchase via online ticketing agent Ticketbooth. Residents and ratepayers will have access to pre-sale tickets until Sunday the 1st of December. If there are any left, and that's looking unlikely, from Monday the 2nd of December, tickets will be made available to both residents and non-residents of the city. I'd encourage everyone in the gallery here tonight to purchase their tickets as soon as possible to avoid disappointment, as more than 80% have sold in a few short days. Excitingly, Quest Joondalup has now officially opened its doors. Located on Boas Avenue, Quest Joondalup contains 90 service departments. The presence of an established and respected brand like Quest will only enhance Joondalup's reputation as a highly livable and vibrant civic and cultural destination. More developments like Quest and the under construction Arthouse Apartments are positively impacting the economic landscape of our city and increase our already impressive employment self-sufficiency rates, as well as move us closer to achieving our aspiration of being the capital of the Northern Corridor, one of Western Australia's fastest growing regions. Last week, the Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia, Ibu Dewi Gustina Tobing, addressed the city, key city stakeholders from the Joondalup Learning Precinct and Joondalup-based education providers around emerging opportunities within the Indonesian vocational and educational training sector under the soon-to-be-ratified Indonesian-Australian Comprehensive Exchange Partnership Agreement. Joondalup offers an unrivalled environment for business growth with a focus on future global growth opportunities including education, tourism, health, knowledge and innovation as well as other industries. There's no doubt that Indonesia presents a significant opportunity for Joondalup stakeholders across a range of sectors. We now move on to identification of matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's an item towards the end of the agenda, which is a tender, which I recommend we go behind closed doors.
That being the case, Council, I would like to move a procedural motion that Council, in accordance with Clause 14.1 of the City of Joondalup Meeting Procedures Local Law 2013, suspends the operation of Clause 4.3, Order of Business of the City of Joondalup Meeting Procedures Local Law 2013, to enable consideration of CJ154, Confidential Tender Processing of Commingled Recyclables, to be discussed after motions on which of which previous notice has been given. So moved, seconded, Councillor May. It's fairly self-explanatory. I don't wish to discuss it or put it to the vote. Those in favour, by show of hands. Those against? I declare that carried. We now move on to petitions. The City has received two petitions, one in relation to the refurbishment of McNaughton Park clubrooms in Kinross and a further petition in relation to the installation of traffic controls at the intersection of Walter Padbury Boulevard and Hepburn Avenue, Padbury. Councillors, are there any further petitions this evening?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have
Councillor
a petition
Taylor.
Here.
Councillor Taylor.
I've sent through the wording. Oh yes, and there it is, number three. Thank you.
Thank you. So received. Are there any other petitions, councillors? That being the case, I'd seek a mover for a motion that the following petitions be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer and a subsequent report presented to council for consideration. Do I have a mover for that motion? Moved, Councillor Taylor. Seconded, Councillor Hollywood. I'll put that motion by a show of hands. Those in favour? Against, declare that carried. We now move on to the reports section of the agenda. As is our practice, councillors will have an opportunity to withdraw items ahead of the meeting. And so with a new council, we'll start a new rotation. We'll start with Councillor Thompson. Any items for tonight's agenda?
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor. CJ142.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Logan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. CJ157, please.
Thank you, Councillor Logan. Councillor Chester.
Nothing this evening, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Raftus.
CJ150, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Palifka?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor May?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Jones?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Taylor?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor McLean?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Councillor Hollywood?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Just to flag to the meeting, I will then withdraw item CJ149, CJ151, CJ158 and CJ159, as these either require an absolute majority or nomination of delegate is required. We then go to item CJ142. Councillor Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to move an alternative motion for the item CJ142, the proposed scheme amendment to local scheme number 3 regarding the uncoding of 21 Shepherd Way so as to allow mixed-use development up to R 80, thank you.
Can you just specify which alternate, please, Councillor Thompson?
Option A, please. I can read it to you. That Council, pursuant to Section 75 of the Planning and Development Act 2005 and Regulation 47(1) of the Planning and Development Local Planning Schemes Regulation 2015, resolves not to support Scheme Amendment Number 7 to the City of Joondalup Local Planning Scheme Number 3.
So moved. Thank you, Councillor Thompson. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Seconded, Councillor Palivka. Councillor Thompson.
Thank you. I would ask you to support my motion to refuse the proposed encoding of this site today. To be clear, if we refuse the proposal at this stage, the proponent has no right to appeal. We will not leave ourselves open to costly SAT hearings, and therefore there will be no months of uncertainty for the neighbours. Vote to initiate the scheme amendment for advertising purposes, and you take the final decision out of our hands and make it difficult to refuse this request, resting the final decision with State Planning and the Minister. Yet I believe we have all the information we need to weigh up the merits of this scheme amendment and refuse it here and now. For background, this site forms the remaining portion of the half-completed 2007 Shepherd Way structure plan, which, as the plan states, was actually recoded at the request of the current proponents from commercial to R40 mixed-use and medium residential to enable the staged development of the quality dry cleaners establishment on the basis that the proposed two-storey quality medium density will complement the existing residential development in the surrounding streets. Whilst I realise that structure plans are only indicative, some 1,000 square metres of the site has now already been developed at R40, and to that plan, creating four two-storey residential developments in keeping with the plan's statutory clauses, which only allowed for two mixed-use residential commercial premises located to the southwest of the site. Yet now, with the proponent's request for mixed-use development to a maximum residential density of R80, the site may be all commercial, all residential, or a mixture of the two, with no constraints on how close the commercial premises is to the neighbouring residential. Neighbours may end up with, say, a proposal for a 24-hour gym next to them. And if we propose, if we approve this proposed scheme amendment for advertising today, what power will we have to stop that from happening? The report says this amendment should not be viewed as an ad hoc amendment, and I agree. Ad hoc means when necessary or as needed. And I can see no need for this scheme amendment at all. From a cost-benefit perspective, for the city and its ratepayers, it seems at R40, a site of this size can already have five group dwellings, or approximately 10 multiple dwellings, bringing more than enough housing diversity. R80 will not yield significantly more dwellings than this due to on-site parking limitations, perhaps three extra dwellings. Conversely, at R80, the potential impact on the neighbour's amenity could be significantly greater, with the potential for four storeys up to 15 metres high and a roof terrace. It seems to me that R80 or even higher would have been a good idea back when the approximately 2,000 square metres to develop with no adjoining neighbours. But there are now four residential neighbours who develop these lots in good faith. They expected to be part of the proponent's original R40 structure plan. I can see no sound reasons to move the goalposts on them at this stage. The city will not significantly increase its housing yield or diversity on such a small parcel of land, and R40 mixed use already offers this site more than adequate opportunity for diversity. The only people who may benefit in any meaningful way, it seems to me, are the site's owners, who are now asking us to change the rules on their behalf halfway through the structure plan being completed. The homes that residents and ratepayers have only recently made are of good quality and not in need of renewal. The oldest was built in 2010, the newest 2016. I believe that this recoding has the potential to disproportionately affect the amenity of those that neighbour the site, causing at the very least unnecessary anxiety and uncertainty. Whilst it is true that we cannot know what will ultimately be built, it would seem that there has to be a reason the landowner is now asking for R80. As the recently approved 13 units on Devalier shows, as maximising development potential of a site can and often does happen if we councillors open the doors to it by approving a coding that makes this possible. Under the circumstances, I can find no compelling arguments as to how...
Councillor Thompson, your time has expired. I'll propose a motion for an extension of 5 minutes, seconded Councillor Logan. By show of hands, those in favour? Against? Please proceed.
So, in closing, under the circumstances, I can find no compelling argument as to how uncoding this small parcel of land will benefit the broader community or can be achieved without adversely and unnecessarily affecting the amenity of the neighbouring properties. For this reason, I ask that you join me in voting for my amended motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Thompson. Councillor Plifka.
I'd like to reserve my right to speak later.
So reserved. Any further comment, councillors? Councillor McLean.
Yes, Mr. Miller. I'd like to foreshadow the original motion that the officers put up.
So foreshadowed. Any further comment, councillors? Councillor Raftus.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to support this motion as it's put forward. The current resolution that's been foreshadowed by the city involves this change of the R coding, basically unlimiting, and put it almost to defer back to an R80. We'll see the potential for four-storey development on this site, particularly after half the site's already been developed under a previous structure or strategy. I've had a look at that site, I visited the area, the potential loss of amenity to those existing four houses. The new development will be on the western side, and I would hate to see the potential impact of a four-storey development on those current premises. We're here as councillors to represent our ratepayers and protect them, and in that case I would think that we would need to protect the ratepayers in those four homes and ask the other councillors to support the move to oppose the original resolution and support the amended resolution presented.
Thank you, Councillor Raftus. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to say I concur with Councillor Thompson's reasoning and I'll be supporting the alternate motion.
Thank you. Any further comment? Councillor Plifka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I first would like to congratulate Councillor Thompson for the exceptional presentation. I would also like to highlight some of the points which I think are very important. This almost, to me, almost seems like we're getting involved in a spot rezoning, something which I don't think is advantageous going forward. The structure plan was actually one which I understand was put forward by the existing developers to actually sell at R40 and then at a later date come back for a second bite at R80 just doesn't seem to me to be fair and just. I think that the actual impact upon the adjoining owners is certainly not consistent with good planning. It's inconsistent with certainty. I actually strongly believe that we should be keeping it as at its current zoning, maybe at a later date, and we're doing a review of arcades and also some of the other issues with planning going forward under the scheme. But at this time, I think to protect the existing ratepayers and also to also have some control over what does go into those into that particular development, we need to be very mindful. I strongly support the alternative motion put by Councillor Thompson. The R40 still gives a significant number of potential units to be built there, so it's not as if we're increasing or if there's a great anomaly with what we're trying to achieve as far as the infill numbers go. So from my point of view, a four-storey in that area, I had a bit of a look at it, stood there, and I know the area well because I've actually had friends in that area. living over the years. I can't possibly support the officer's recommendation, and I would strongly recommend that all my fellow councillors support the alternative motion as it's put. This is a significant decision. If we take the view that we're going to, if you like, and not ad hoc so much, but on the spot rezoning, it's going to open the gate for many others. There are many people out there who feel that they are, they're an anomaly. Those, some of them that are outside the HOA want to be upgraded, some that are in want to be downgraded. Anomalies exist in planning, unfortunately, but it doesn't give us cause for this here to be upgraded. I will support and strongly recommend my fellow councillors do so.
Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm enjoying hearing the views around the table. At this stage, where I sit on this is, in an ideal world, if it was starting again, I think the whole site should have been R80. I think it would have, but given we've got development already occurring there, I do think when you have four stories next to residential housing, it produces an issue. If there was no residential housing directly next to the next to where you could potentially build up to four stories, then it would make sense. Where you want to have high density is in a shopping district. I know the district reasonably well. I've been at the gym there a few times. You want to build up where you have shopping centres, but given we've already set the rules at R40 for half the site or two thirds of the site, it would not make sense to then, in my view, to ad hoc, to make a sudden change to the other half of the site. But I am interested in hearing other people's views as well before I make my final decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor May. I think Councillor McLean, you've spoken. Further comments, councillors? Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I cannot support this alternate motion. I've left my notes at home, so I must apologise. Marmion Shopping Centre is, in fact, the ideal location for apartment development because, of it, as we've said, it's next to a walkable neighbourhood shopping centre and a doctor's surgery. Developing on land that was previously a petrol station is now common practice in the older suburbs in Joondalup. In my ward, in Connolly, townhouses were built on the land that the petrol station was on Country Club Boulevard, next to the Connolly Shopping Centre. And in Heathridge on Carradine Road, where I first moved here, there was a petrol station, doctors and a chemist on the corner. But when these businesses closed, units were eventually built there. And on the other side of Heathridge Shopping Centre, units for the over 55s were built on the land that was sold by the city. So these examples are just proof that this is that this is an ideal location for units for people who want to downsize. And I suggest it's not really ad hoc planning, that because it is adjacent to a shopping centre, it's sensible planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Further comments, councillors? Just a couple of comments from myself then. Do share some of the concerns, and one of the residents spoke, I think, giving us our first statement tonight. I'm also very conscious of the four existing dwellings who've built there since what was allowed changed in the past 10 years or so. So I can understand the concerns of residents where you've built in an area on one understanding, and then it appears that, you know, what you had understood was happening next door can change. So I have some sympathy for that argument. I would make the point that at its current zoning, it can still yield apartments. In fact, at its current zoning, by my calculation, it could probably yield the same number of apartments, if ultimately probably not the same bulk and scale of building, but the developers could still yield a similar number of apartments, albeit they would be, in my view, worse apartments, because if they tried to go for the same number of dwelling yields, you're talking very small one-bedroom dwellings, whereas what's currently proposed is largely 3-2s, and are they better design quality compared to some of the other multiple dwellings that we see around the place? That's all semantics, really, because what's before us is a decision to consult. So we're not making the final decision on this proposal. There was another alternative which stripped out that potential design. I think that was a good suggestion, because regardless of the merits of that design, that may or may not be progressed for a DA. All that is actually before us tonight is whether we consult on a scheme amendment or not. The argument has been put that if we consult, it signals our intention to support. I strongly disagree with that argument. It's the city's job to conduct consultation, to initiate consultation on behalf of proponents. The city did not initiate this planning scheme amendment. We have some 60,000 or so different property titles in the city, and any one of those can and will at different times propose amendments for their own, and it is the responsibility of us as a council to progress those through to public consultation, in my view, and to not do that is an abrogation of our responsibility. That is a concern for me in two areas. First of all, people who, in many of the statements and questions we've heard tonight, are people wanting to see council have a greater say in matters of planning. In fact, people who think we have a greater say than we actually do. Well, if people want to see local governments having a greater authority, as opposed to it going to JDAP or being removed from us, then we have to show that we can give due process and give things their chance to be heard. The second reason I have a problem with refusing at this stage is it is a refusal to consult. I accept there are residents who are concerned. I accept and I would expect that the four neighbours are probably the most concerned, and at least one resident who I've heard from in the vicinity. But that for me is a total of five in the past 10 days. I do not know what the other residents think. I do not know what the business owners in that shopping centre think. I don't know what the other ratepayers in that area think. Consultation gives us a trigger to do that. If we support this motion to refuse to consult, what we are saying is the threshold of a small number of people, and it's a very small number who have contacted us, is enough for us to say, well, we don't need to hear anything else. I mean, again, a lot of the call we hear is people want us to consult better with the community, yet here we have before us our first motion and it's to not consult. That is a concern for me, so I don't support the motion before us. I note Councillor McLean's foreshadowing of the officer's recommendation. If this isn't progressed from here, I'll go to Councillor McLean, but I will also then further foreshadow there was a halfway option, because I have some concern around setbacks and heights on those immediately adjacent neighbours, because I think they built with an expectation, and then I have, you know, some support for that second alternate, which would lessen the impact on those but still progress this to public consultation. So there's a second foreshadowing there from me. Any further comment, councillors? Councillor Thompson, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was told during the induction that consultation is only one of the bases for me making a decision. And whilst I am very keen on consultation as an idea, I think that we also have to weigh that against the risk, because we all know where that can lead to. If we do consult on this, if we do not, I feel personally that we have enough information and the inequity of going down this route is clear enough that we can make a decision today. If we do decide to consult, we are also deciding, and I know that we're not, and I never said that we were foreshadowing a decision or indicating our decision, but we are actually taking the decision out of our hands. It will not rest with us any longer. And I have seen, and I have sat in this chamber enough times to see it, when things don't go the way that the proponent wants, that they then go to SAT, and that costs us money. And I think that this will be appealed. So if you feel like I do, that we have enough information to hand and that this is an inequitable enough decision that we shouldn't move forward with it, I'd ask you to vote for my alternate recommendation today. And to clarify, I'm not saying don't build units here, and I'm not saying stifle development. I'm just saying R40 would be perfectly adequate. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Thompson. I'll just get you to switch your microphone off if you can, please. Councillors, I'll put that motion and invite you to cast your vote on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed and the motion carried. We now move on to item CJ149. You're correct. Councillor Thompson, we need a reason.
I actually produced one for you along with a pack.
I'll need you to read it in, please.
Okay, just a second. I'll just say it on the... since the development... since the original structure plan is already half developed, I believe that it should continue with the R40 coding that it has, because it will adversely affect the neighbours if it doesn't.
Thank you. We move to item CJ149, the annual report 18-19. I've withdrawn this just because it requires an absolute majority. I'm happy to move. Is there a seconder for this motion? Seconded Councillor Jones. Don't wish to open debate, Councillor Jones. Any discussion on this item, councillors? Microphone, Councillor Thompson. Thank you. In that case, I'll put the motion and invite you to cast your vote on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed and the item carried. We move to item CJ150, Councillor Raftus.
Thank you, Mayor. I actually wanted to speak against the motion.
I need someone to move it, Councillor Raftus. Do you move the motion?
I move it.
So moved. Do I have a seconder for the motion? Seconded Councillor Thompson. Councillor Raftus.
Thank you. I'll get it right. Thank you. Yes, I wish to speak against the motion as it's put forward. This is currently seeking the approval of a submission regarding CEO recruitment and selection, performance review and termination, as well as code of conduct for council members, committee members and candidates. My real concern with the submission is there doesn't appear to be any form of consultation with key members that are involved, notably councillors, and for someone who's been recently a candidate. Would slot into that one as well. And it also doesn't appear to have been put forward for discussion with the committee set up within the council to deal with CEO recruitment and performance. So I would hope that something that's going to go to another form of government, another level of government on behalf of the city, we'd have adequate consultation and workshop within the elected members, so that we can all agree on the full content of that submission, have it fully workshopped, and I would request that the submission not go ahead as it is.
Thank you, Councillor Raftus. Councillor Thompson.
I reserve my right, thank you.
Any further discussion, councillors? Councillor Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also am not comfortable with this submission. I think there's still a few questions there not really clarified, and I think we need to have some more information before we can make a clear judgment. So I'll be supporting Councillor Raftus's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Just a quick question, if I can, Mr. CEO, of... what circulation there has been and what time imperatives apply to this submission, and to what extent the city influences that? Director Parry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When we received these submissions, we circulated them to all elected members and advised that we would be drafting a submission, and if they had any queries with regard to the guidelines which was presented by the department. They could get in contact with me. A draft was presented and also circulated to elected members, and I received no comments. So you find the submissions here before you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Parry. Further comment, councillors? Councillor May?
Just for clarity, so if the motion isn't carried, what happens then? When do we make the submission?
Director Parry.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I can't remember the date of the closing. I think it might be the 6th of December.
You have a question? Sorry.
Further question?
Just because I couldn't hear very well, but it was the 6th of December is the closing date, the deadline.
Director Parry?
Mr. Mayor, that's what I believe it is. I'm just trying to confirm it within the papers that it was around that date that I believe we got an extension to.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Chester?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I must say I would prefer to have been involved in the initial creation and formulation of the submission rather than being asked to comment after the event. I must say it almost feels like we'd be tinkering at the edges rather than having a substantial input in the first instance. So I'm not really happy with it either.
Director Parry, I again ask, were elected members sent the documents and given an opportunity to participate? Director Parry.
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor, just repeating that once the guidelines were received, they were forwarded to all elected members with advice that if they wished to, these were the guidelines that were proposed, if they wished to have a comment, they could respond back to a member of the administration, namely myself, and that a draft submissions would be made and circulated to all elected members for their comment, which was done and no comments were received. We were also in the middle of the election period when these were circulated as well, so there weren't any other opportunities to be able to consult.
Mr. Mayor, could I clarify my comment, please?
You can offer a personal explanation, Councillor Chester.
All right. My point was that I did not want to be consulted after the event. My point was that I needed to be there in the first instance.
Okay, Councillor Chester, that's not correct, Mr. CEO.
What's not correct, Mr. Mayor?
If I might, Mr. Mayor, the endorsement is of the report before you tonight. It's not endorsing something that's already gone. And I repeat, this information was circulated to all elected members and the invitation to make submission as outlined by Mr. Parry. This is not something that's just suddenly popped up.
Councillor McLean.
Mr. Mayor, I seek clarity.
You have a question, Councillor Chester?
I seek clarity, Mr. Mayor.
Do you have a question, Councillor Chester?
Well, I can't phrase it as a question. No,
I'll take a question when you phrase it as a question. Councillor McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The document did come out to us, and I did read it thoroughly, and I had no comment, and I hope that the rest of my elected member colleagues did the same. I realise that the newly elected members might not have had the same opportunity, but the majority of us did. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McLean.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor.
Question, Councillor Chester?
Yes. My question is, why were we not afforded a workshop to allow councillors to formulate a policy that we would be happy with in the first instance?
Mr. CEO.
This is not a policy, councillor. This is making a submission to the department on a document that was produced by the Department of Local Government and issued by WALGA. This is not a proposal that we've initiated. We are responding to something which was initiated in the first instance. And in similar circumstances, with issues like this, this is how we have dealt with them, and there has been no issue raised in the past. So we have followed the same process that we normally do.
Councillor Logan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. If I heard correctly, the final submission date is December 6th.
Director Parry. Correct.
Given the next council meeting is on December 10, correct me if I'm wrong, we either, what options do we have if we don't progress this tonight?
Mr. CEO?
You've got the option of making no submission at all. That's within the rights of the council. I'd be surprised if you haven't all received something individually outside of the city as elected members or parts of other groups as well. There are a myriad of different ways that you've been invited to participate in the legislation changes. So for the two new elected members, I acknowledge they're in a different situation, but the other elected members have had access to this information.
Councillor Logan.
If I may, I'd just like to follow that up. The other option, and I thought you may answer that way, Mr. CEO, in all due respect, the other option that I can see, which may not be a practical one, would be to hold a special council meeting. That would cost money.
That is an option for us. It would be extraordinarily unusual to hold a special council meeting for a submission where we are one of 138 local governments in the state, and our submission may or may not even be heeded by the state government who make the final decision. So, yes, that is theoretically an option for the council, not one that I would personally advise.
And that was where I was coming from, Mr. Mayor, fellow elected members. If we don't progress this tonight, are we going to look like silly fools, quite frankly, in the local government sector?
Further comments, councillors? Councillor Hollywood.
When this comes back after the government's dealt with it, we don't have to abide by it, do we?
Mr. CEO.
Depends what changes they make. At this stage, it's inviting comment on proposals that have been put forward by the Department of Local Government on behalf of the state government. It'll form part of the consultative process. So the options are for individual local governments to comment or not, as they choose. I would offer the other alternative, Mr. Mayor, is that we write to the respective individuals that have sought the view of the city to advise that we will list it for the next council meeting and advise on the 10th or the 11th, if that's the will of the council.
Further comments, Councillor Palooka?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually thought I did have an exchange of emails in regard to this with Director Parry. I could be wrong. Memory is what it is at my age. But I'm not comfortable, let me just say very simply, and I understand all the things that have been said by the CEO. Now, this is, I think, a critical document, and I think the question raised by Councillor Hollywood is pertinent, and that is it binding on us? Should it go through the system, and then is it presented to us and we have to follow it? Because if that's the case, and we're one of 136 or whatever, you know, that many opinions usually end up with a donkey, with a sort of a giraffe result. I just think that this is too important a document to rush it. I actually had a look at it. I didn't agree with certain parts of it, which I think I commented on. I would like to see either a deferral on this. The other aspect is the deadline of the 6th. How hard and fast is that? Mr. Mayor?
Director Parry?
Mr. Mayor, the extension, that is an extension on the period for consultation as requested by a number of professional associations, so I believe that would be the deadline.
In other words, it's already extended. It's already been extended.
Thank you, sir. I heard that. I won't be supporting it going forward, and I would be requesting that we actually ask for not a long extension, but maybe one just post our next council meeting. I think Councillor Logan's observation had some merit, and that is we're going to miss the council meeting by 4 days. they may give us the grace to extend it. I don't think it's a critical issue which is going to change the world if we have that extra extension. But as it stands, it hasn't got my support.
Thank you. Councillor, further comments, councillors? Councillor Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I must admit that when I read the document, because I didn't have the prior opportunities to comment that you did, that I felt quite disenfranchised by it. And I do wonder if that was partly because I didn't get an opportunity to collaborate at the outset of it. And it sounds to me as though some other councillors feel that on documents like this, it might be a good idea to have that collaboration, that group work at the beginning, so that we feed into the report before it gets written. And so I just wanted to flag that and say that perhaps going forward we should have another look at that instead of a this is the way we've always done it approach. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Thompson. Councillor Hollywood, I think you have spoken. Just asked a question. Councillor Hollywood.
How many people do you think are responding to this? How many companies? Hundreds?
Further comments, councillors? Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I acknowledge it's unfortunate when you are a new elected member, when there's things in motion and you miss out on the opportunity to comment on them. There were things when I was elected, at the same time you were elected, Mr. Mayor, that were in motion, and that is a river of time. You can't stop everything. I will be supporting the motion as it stands. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor May. Further comments, councillors? Just a couple of quick points from me then. We as a council have a measure of authority and influence. That is only afforded to us through the Acts of Parliament that are essentially empower us with responsibilities. We are beholden to the State Parliament first and foremost, and a number of other ways to the State Government. This is if this materialises in any way, shape or form, this will be their document. We have enough work on our own in those things that we are given latitude to take up all of our time and then some in terms of focusing on those. But we are one of the more diligent councils, I believe, in terms of putting in submissions for public comment. We don't control the timeline. It probably wasn't terribly well thought out from the state government to have done the consultation initially around local government election time. And I acknowledge that, but we don't control that timeline. My next comments completely excuse the two new councillors because they weren't here for that, but it just simply isn't good enough to get to this point of the cycle for elected members to say they weren't given an opportunity to participate, because you were. Nor is it an opportunity to say, oh, well, we wanted to participate to a higher degree. Well, nobody raised that with me at the time, and I don't believe anybody raised that with the CEO at the time. So the criticism I will bristle at, because those opportunities were provided, and it's incumbent on all elected members to digest what is sent to them and raise the concerns within the timeline that they have. The other point that I would raise is this whole debate has largely been around generalities. Nobody has yet, that I've heard, raised any specific matters in the submission or the proposed guidelines that they do or don't agree with. This whole debate has been around generalities, and if you look at our submission, there are some very good things in there that I do strongly agree with. Personally, I don't think we should be having independent people on our recruitment panel for CEOs. That's our job as elected members, so I think that's a good part of the submission, and I'd be very keen to see that progress. I also don't agree with a full re-advertising of the CEO position after 10 consecutive years as a mandated provision. There might be times where it is appropriate, but that is a very expensive exercise for the city, and I have some issues with that. That might be something that others may disagree with. But again, nobody raised specific provisions of this that they had an issue with. And there are a range of other issues in the submission that, by and large, I think pick up on some deficiencies. So I would be keen to see progress, and I will be supporting the motion before us. Any further comment, councillors? Councillor Raftus, you wish to close?
Thank you, Mayor. I would cover off in terms of the content. There are, as you've
pointed out, there are some good comments within there. I'm not saying I disagree with the entire content of the submission. I am concerned that a process in which a submission representing the views of the council is not created with the full input of the council members or particular committees set up to handle certain areas and aspects. We as a city put ourselves forward as an innovative organisation as one of our distinguishing values, and in that case we need to be looking at ways that we improve doing things going forward and not relying on how things may have been always done in the past. And I would hope that good governance procedures going forward would see any such submissions be fully workshopped. And I leave it open to members who have been here for a great length of time, other than me, in terms of voting for this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Raftus. I put that motion and invite you to cast your votes on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed and the motion carried. Next item of business is item CJ151. I've only withdrawn it as it requires an absolute majority. I am also happy to move as the original proponent of the motion. Do I have a seconder for this motion? Thank you. Councillor McLean seconded. I don't wish to speak to the motion at this time. Councillor McLean.
I reserve my right, please.
Any comment on item CJ151, councillors? If not, I'll put that motion and invite you to cast your votes on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed and the item carried. Next item of business is item CJ157, provision of automatic external defibrillators in community centres. Councillor Logan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the officer's recommendation as published, printed on page 93 of tonight's agenda.
So moved. Thank you, Councillor Logan. Do I have a seconder? Seconded, Councillor Chester.
Mr. Mayor, reserve my right.
Councillor Logan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor, fellow elected members. I decided to put this matter before us 8 months ago, thinking I knew a little bit about heart disease. Well, I knew a little bit about it, but I had a heck of a lot to learn. I really didn't realise the extent of the problem. Heart disease is our nation's biggest killer. More than 400,000 Australians will suffer from cardiac arrest in their lifetime. Staggering. The report in front of us tonight makes the seriousness of cardiac arrest even more clearer, and how indeed defibs can and do save lives, especially the provision of automatic external defibrillators such as at community centres. Maintained defibs, that is for the likes of batteries and pads ready to go if needed, hopefully they never need it, but if they are needed, if they are maintained, that gives people a chance of survival. A reasonably good chance in many cases. Now, how many lives would be saved in installing defibs in community centres or on the external of community centres under the direction of the city's administration? Of course, I don't know. We don't know. But I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, if this was to go ahead at some stage, the sooner the better, that is, because it may save one life. One life worth saving is more than offsetting any cost of providing the defibs to community centres and other areas where there's gaps in the community. The officer's recommendation of a targeted approach to the rollout of defibs in the city, it seems a sensible way of approaching the challenge of where these life-saving devices should be installed. I do note and commend our officers for their enthusiasm to work with St John Ambulance to identify the city-managed community centres which are in need of external defibs. And, of course, that's one where
the D-pippers installed on the outside of the building. Alongside of St John's, our officers have been working to identify other gaps where D-pippers would be of great community benefit. The St John WA Community First Responder Program, it connects cardiac arrest victims to local automatic external defibrillators, and it's, of course, it's widely welcome in our community. D-fibs installed where still needed, and there are places, as I said, where they are still needed, and if they are maintained by the city properly, which I'm sure they would work at maximum efficiency. That would provide, in a nutshell, a better, safer future for the people we represent as elected members. Now, the amendment to the officer's recommendations, which I've put forward tonight, it just reflects, in a nutshell, the importance of this whole matter. If supported, it would enable us to consider a more comprehensive report from our officers after they continue to work with St John Ambulance. And if we would get that report in March, that would be in time for the potential installation of DFibs in the next financial year. As I said earlier, as far as I'm concerned, the sooner these DFibs are installed, the better. As a courtesy, I flagged the amendment with Mr Smith, the responsible acting director, and I'd just like to thank you, Mr Smith, and your team for the work that you've already done thus far with St John Ambulance in investigating DFibs and their usefulness to our communities. Fellow elected members, the city's administration has given an undertaking to improve the timing of reports to council after an appetite for such was captured during the latest CEO review. I'm sure you're all aware of that. Well, I believe the timing for a more comprehensive report back to council should be March next year, ahead of the budget workshops, in time for the next financial year. And I trust that you see the value in that March report timing too. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Logan. Councillor Chester?
I'll reserve my right, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comment, councillors? Councillor Palicka?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In general terms, I support the motion. The area of concern I have is that we've targeted a number of locations, and I noticed that Warrandyke is not one of the targeted areas. I would have thought that would... I don't know what the criteria was, but it would seem to me that this is very specific and limiting. It limits it down to those areas. I am very supportive of the defibs. I would like to think that we don't cut out the targeted rollout and that we actually, during the budget process, put the case for what particular parks we install them into. I just found it a little bit sort of, I suppose, surprising. Warrandyke wasn't in there. So I'd be actually looking at amending number two of the recommendation. And I'd like to amend that to suggest that we support the rollout of automated external defibrillator units throughout the city of Joondalup based upon a criteria established prior to the budget consideration. It's just too restrictive for me because it's selecting... Some of those there may be even smaller than Warrandyke. Doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Councillor Palivka. I'll just seek clarification. Councillor Logan, have you moved the original... You've moved the alternate motion as requested?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor and fellow elected members. I've moved the alternate as was circulated as per protocol. Thank you.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify that. Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to mention something similar along the lines of what Councillor Palivka mentioned. I think the locations listed make sense to me, but I would have thought Warrandyke would have qualified as well. That was the point I was going to make. But generally, the locations generally do make sense. But, yeah, thank you.
we're getting a system upgrade soon, because if two people have their microphones on, you can effectively silence the mayor. I shouldn't have said that out loud. It's a good thing you've only got two meetings to go. Councillor McLean and then Councillor Hollywood.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Councillor Logan on this motion. It's essential. It's a lifesaver. And as it says in the report, every minute that you hesitate costs the survival chances are reduced by 10%. So I think it's a well thought out motion. Certainly, the gym I go to, they've got a defib. The club I go to down the country, have got a defib. And I think, as well as what is part of the motion, maybe we should encourage clubs around the city through a grant or support to install defibrillators as well. I think partly our responsibility, but I think the clubs should accept responsibility as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McLean. Councillor Hollywood.
I thought this was going back to the officers for further comment.
Correct. And it's a call for a report as the alternate by March 2020. Further comments, councillors? Councillor Chester.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to follow up on a comment that Councillor Plifka made, I believe we need to be quite focused on distribution of defibs to provide maximum access. I do note the Calactasia Hall in Greenwood, there is a defib there, but of course it's not listed here. So I guess that could be relocated to Warrandyte. And the only other comment I'll make is that having them accessible makes them vulnerable to vandalism. But as the report indicates, it's fairly limited. But I do believe if we put a big sign up over the top saying this is a life-saving device and the life to be saved might be our own, it might discourage some vandalism. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chester. I'll just ask quickly, Mr. Smith, Warrandyte has come up a number of times there. Was that a site that was looked at?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, those list of items, those list of parks are not limited. It's not restricted just to those. It was to pay, the intent of the recommendation was to pay particular attention to those. We're not just focusing on those, we will be focusing on the city as a whole, so Warrandyte may very well fall in that, as may Belrose Park or any other public location that the city manages. And the intent of the targeted one is not to put two defibs next to each other based on community facilities. If there's one, for argument's sake, closely located at the Sorrento Surf Club, then you may not put one at Sorrento Hall because you're in close proximity that 000 can refer you to. So that list of nine parks is not limited. It's just that to pay particular attention, because they are quite large, active spaces, and Warrandyte may very well fall within that mix.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Further comment, councillors? Do you have a question, Councillor Plifka?
I do have a question. My question is very simple. So what's red is it could be changed between now and the time it comes back to council.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, absolutely. And the list could be 15, it could be 35, and it'll be based on a set of criteria determined by St. John in conjunction with the city, and obviously mindful of what budget constraints there may or may not be.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That satisfies me.
Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I think it's a fantastic initiative, and it's great to see City of Europe doing something positive. But I'd just like to ask if they could also extend it to facilities where we have old people doing exercise. For example, at the Rob Maddock Community Hall, there's a Prime Movers Fitness Ladies class where there's about 60 ladies aged over 60 plus who do fitness, high risk. and also places like Beaumaris Community Centre, where we have senior citizen clubs meet regular in attendance of about 80, 90 people. So I just wondered if they could also be examined for potential provision. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Further comments, councillors? Just a couple from myself. Just want to acknowledge the work that Councillor Logan's done on this matter. As the council knows, we've just come through an election cycle. This was for Councillor Logan, something that he firmly took to his community as something that he would push, and so it is here before us. Very good initiative, I think, as well, and it's great to see most of the other speakers agree with that. I'll just highlight a couple of the units that I've seen, not in operation, but I've seen elsewhere around the city. Chichester Park itself currently does have an external defibrillator, as does, I know, Mullaloo Surf Club, two city-owned facilities. What this motion calls for in terms of automatic external defibrillators differs from the internal ones that may be provided at, say, shopping centres, or I think the Calictasia one was given as an example as well. These are facilities which are generally maintained to a certain extent by St John of God. They're in a locked box, and to get access to the box, a user would have to first call St John's, would then gain access to the PIN code to be able to get the automatic defibrillator out. That process, I imagine, would trigger an ambulance response, and then the user of the defibrillator would be on the phone to St John's to be walked through the process. So these aren't defibrillators which are sitting around that, you know, people could nick or take. That's sometimes a concern with public property. They're locked away. But even more concerning is they are very, even more encouraging, but would otherwise be of concern, is that they are very unlikely to be misused, because obviously a misused defibrillator could be quite dangerous. So any use of these is only done in consultation with and generally under instruction in real time from St John's Ambulance. That seems to work very well at the Surf Club. As I said, one's been at Chichester for quite some time as well. Also support the motion. Any further comments? Councillor Logan, do you wish to close?
Yes, thanks, fellow elected members, and apologies for the earlier confusion. I was moving the alternate, only a slight change, of course, of wording and amendment within it. So I support in the thrust, of course, of the officer's recommendation, and thank you, Mr. Smith, for making it very clear that these centres in front of us tonight, if it wasn't clear enough, perhaps you'd like to have a look at some of the elected members might like to have a look at point three again. It does, if you read it a second time, suggest that these centres aren't the only centres that would be looked at. They are looked at because of the high volume of people, and we thought that that may be a no-brainer. But having said that, I don't want to preempt what St John Ambulance and the officers come up with. If you support this tonight, when it comes back in March, they may have a different view to what some of us have around the table at the moment. I would say that St John Ambulance is in a better position than any of us here tonight, and certainly any organisation that I know of in the state, to make the sorts of calls on where defibrillators are needed and how many are needed and how they should be installed and maintained as we go forward. I'd encourage you to support the alternative as I put forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Logan. I'll put that motion and invite you to cast your votes on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed and the item carried unanimously. We now move on to item CJ158, the annual financial report. I'm just withdrawing it because it requires an absolute majority. I'm happy to move. Do I have a seconder? Seconded Councillor May. I don't wish to open discussion, Councillor May. Any discussion on this item, councillors? I'll put that motion then and invite you to cast your vote on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed and the item carried. We move to item CJ159, appointment of an alternate member to Mindari Regional Council. Councillors, need a nomination. I've received a nomination from Councillor Jones. Are there any further nominations? In that case, I propose a motion that, in the absence of Councillor Fishwick, in accordance with the relevant provisions, that Councillor Jones be appointed as an alternate member for the meeting held on the 4th of between the 4th of November and the 19th of December. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Seconded, Councillor Palufka. I'll put that motion and invite you to cast your votes. Councillor Taylor, we haven't, you've probably voted, but we missed it. Thank you. Declare the voting closed and the item carried. We move on, before I move an exception resolution for the outstanding items, are there any other items that councillors wish to withdraw? In that case, I propose that pursuant to Clause 4.83 of the Meeting Procedures Local Law 2013, adoption by exception resolution, Council adopts the following items, being item CJ141, CJ143, CJ144, CJ145, CJ146, CJ147, CJ148, CJ152, CJ153, CJ155, CJ156, and that is all. Do I seconded Councillor Jones? Don't generally discuss an exception resolution. Any discussion, councillors? I'll put that motion and invite you to cast your votes on the screens before you. Declare the voting closed and the item carried unanimously. We move on to urgent business, of which there is none. Motions of which previous notice has been given, of which there is none. In which case, I propose procedural motion that Council, in accordance with Section 5.23(2)(c) of the Local Government Act of 1995 and Clause 5.22 of the City's Meeting Procedures Local Law 2013, resolves to close the meeting to members of the public to consider the following item, being item CJ154, Confidential Tender 09-00919, processing of commingled recyclables, and 2, permits the following employees to remain in the chamber during discussion on item CJ154 while the meeting is sitting behind closed doors, as detailed in part 1.1 above, being the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gary Hunt, the Director of Governance and Strategy, Mr. Jamie Parry, the Director of Planning and Community Development, Ms. Dale Page, the Director of Infrastructure Services, Mr. Nico Clarkson, the Acting Director of Corporate Services, Mr. Mike Smith, Manager of Governance, Mr. Brad Salance, the Governance Coordinator, Mrs. Vivian Stampalia, the Governance Officer, Mrs. Leslie Taylor, and Governance Officer, Mrs. Wendy Cowley. So moved. I have a seconder for that motion. Seconded, Councillor Logan. I'll put that motion and invite you to cast your votes on the screens before you. I'll do it by a show of hands. Those in favour? Against? Declare that carried. While we're further going through that, I will move a further procedural motion that Council resumes the operation of Clause 4.3 of the City of Joondalup Meeting Procedures Local Law 2013 Order of Business. So moved. Do I have a seconder? Seconder to Councillor McLean. By a show of hands, those in favour? Against? Declare that one carried. I think if nobody comes in, I don't have to read it out aloud. Thank you. In that case, next item of business is announcements of notices of motion for the next meeting. Are there any notices of motion to be considered for the next meeting? If not, I declare the meeting closed at 8:54 p.m. Thank you all.